This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
The Rich Zeoli Show, on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, now tomorrow we're going to have a best of show, and I'll tell you why I'm doing that in just a second. And then tomorrow night I'll be in for the great one, Mark Levin, on his national show from 6 to 9 p.m., so tune in for that. I'm literally only taking off tomorrow so that Dawn will take off, because she's a machine and doesn't take off ever. So I have to do it, otherwise you'll wind up working tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's a holiday. It's a company holiday. And of course, the corporate overlords at Entercom want us to use basically all of our vacation time before the end of the summer.
Yes. For me, because I come into Entercom World Headquarters, our beautiful new building, it's an escape. See, I get to drive in. There's no traffic, and it's escaping.
Yeah. Well, you can thank me, because I'm trapped at home here, you get to do the show in the main studio. And if I come back, you'd have to be sent to that little room that we keep Bill in.
The isolation booth.
Yeah, the isolation booth. I don't want to put you in the cone of silence. So, I mean, that's the problem right now.
We'll see.
We can't all be within 6 feet of each other. Corporate policy.
But the thing is, if I look in the studio where John is right now, where Greg would be, it's actually 6 feet if I go way to the end. And I bought these shields. You know, they look like the Star Wars, like the plexiglass, like head shield.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm ready.
Oh, well, there you go. You're going to do the show wearing a plexiglass shield. Head shield.
Yeah.
How are you going to speak in a microphone with a plexiglass head shield?
I'll put the microphone underneath.
Oh, okay.
Like in with me, in the shield.
In the shield. Now, we could probably get you one of those lapel microphones. I don't know if that'll sound good
on
the air, but
see, that's a good idea.
Try that. Yeah, I'm losing my freaking mind. I mean, I've lost it a long time ago. There's no doubt about that. I think a lot of Americans have, which is why people are going to leave this weekend. There's going to be a lot of road trips going on.
Yeah, we're heading to Ocean City, New Jersey. So I'm thrilled that they said the arcades are open. Everything's the boardwalk. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, but you're not spending the night, though. You're coming home, right?
Yeah, because of the dog.
Because of the dog, yeah.
So we just do day trip. We go early in the morning, and it's fine. We go very early.
One of the things that I was thinking about, first of all, and I mentioned this before, doing this job, I don't know, I guess my headphones are, I feel like my hearing is not as good as it used to be. And when I go to restaurants, and they pack you in like sardines, like, you know the thing, you ask for a table of two, and you're sitting down, and the table next to you is about 3/4 of an inch away from you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Strangers. And it's like you're basically dining with them. There's just this little tiny separation. But if you want to get up to go to the bathroom, everybody's got to like stand up, move the tables. I think those days are probably gone, which is good. I have no problem with the 6 feet apart table rule at restaurants.
Yes.
Because I don't have to have anybody on top of me anymore. I actually really love that.
Yeah, I agree. And I also like the fact that they're allowed to limit people now. To say, look, after an hour and 15 minutes, enough.
Get the hell up.
Yeah, I agree.
Stop
with that.
Sitting here camping out all night like you own the freaking table. Get up.
Yeah, just go.
I hate this. Happened the other night. I took the family out for dinner, and it was the same situation. Checks dropped. You know, the glasses are off the table. It's like, would you get the hell up? Right. I wanted to go over there and say something. Bridget would not let me. She's like, do not. But you know, you can see all these people waiting for the table, man. You're done. Get up and go chit chat somewhere else. Yeah. So those days, that's good if that's over too. But I, personally, I mean, the indoor dining thing, I don't know. A lot of these restaurants are not going to be able to make it. It breaks my heart to the fact that they're not going to have indoor dining, because for these restaurants, they're geared up for it. They spent money. They were ready for it. They were doing, you know, temperature checks. They installed plexiglass dividers. They had all kinds of new ways to keep everybody safe. Some places installed new ventilation systems. They're done. I mean, they're done because of these ridiculous decisions.
Yeah. And we're really hearing it. In Philadelphia, the restaurant owners are just losing their minds because they're saying this is so unfair just in the city of Philadelphia, but right across the border in our suburban counties, you know, Monco, whether you look at Bucks, Delco, they're all allowed to open. So everybody's just going to those restaurants or across the bridge. In South Jersey, you can't. Jersey's the same.
Got to do outdoor.
Got to do outdoor. It's just.
And then what happens when we get the summer heat waves and everybody is roasting? Nobody's going to want to sit outside and have dinner. That's going to hurt the restaurants as well.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like right now it's a little bit of a civic duty to go out to dinner. That's the way I look at it.
Yes.
Or lunch or something, just to help out these businesses. You're going to be fine. It's outside. Bring your Purell. But the good thing now is, remember the old days they used to give you the menus that were sticky?
Yes.
Right? They would just hand you a menu and it was all sticky and germy. And if you ever held up one of those blue lights to it, you'd probably see, you know, viruses swimming on there, partying, wearing sunglasses.
Yeah.
But now they give you the disposable paper menus. I like that. Keep that. Don't ever go back to the other thing.
Yeah. Or what I like too, make a reservation and then they have their menu online. So I prefer not even, I don't even want to. I don't want them to.
You don't
want
to touch anything.
Right.
You don't want to touch the food. Have somebody come feed you.
I'll just order from my phone, or not order, but look at the menu.
Dawn wants a feeding tube at a restaurant.
No, but I mean, look at the menu on your phone. That's just a nice option.
So some places have almost like iPads at the table. And then before you sit down, they come over and they wipe it down. They sterilize it. And then you can order right there, right? Everything right there. But I'm okay with the paper menus. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
But eventually it'll become an environmental crisis. You know, people say, we got all this paper. We're wasting all this paper. It's going to be a nightmare. You can't have paper menus anymore. I guess that'll come at some point.
This is true. We're waiting for that.
But all right. Well, how are we looking today? What are we? I guess it's a beautiful day. It looks like a beautiful day today.
Yeah, it is. The nice thing is there are no washout days in the forecast, because that would just stink. So good morning. We have 71 degrees, a bright, beautiful, sunny morning. Thursday, July 2nd. Boy, the summer is zooming through already. I'm Dawn. This is the Zioli Show News Live, sponsored by Hint Water. So by the way, the networks at 7 a.m., they all led with the story, record surge in cases of COVID-19. So that's the big lead of COVID.
Did they mention how the deaths have fallen dramatically?
Here's the thing.
They didn't mention that?
Nope. They're not talking about hospitalizations. They're not talking about the death rate. And they are certainly not talking about what Zioli's been talking about, nursing homes.
Right. Yeah. Of course not. They're just looking at numbers.
Numbers. Right. So masks are now mandatory in Pennsylvania. This expands, of course, Governor Tom Wolf's indoor mask executive order to public places outdoors where social distancing is impossible. So now it's indoors. If you go like to the malls, which are, you know, 25 to 50% open, that sort of thing, if they're open in your area. Here are the exceptions, though. Some people can't wear them due to a medical condition. Babies and toddlers under 2, or if somebody is hard of hearing or hearing impaired, you can kind of scooch down your mask so that you can communicate. Because, you know, we hear that where you've got your mask, nobody can understand what you're
saying.
They go,
huh? What? What do you want? Huh?
Some casinos are reopening today. They're allowed in New Jersey at 25% capacity. But as Zioli has talked extensively about, no food, drinks, no smoking.
Yeah, just come in and give us your money and get out. Just hand it to us at the door and make it life easier for everybody.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. We have amusement parks reopening at the shore. And yes, arcades, indoor even, only 25%. But they've been spraying and disinfecting. And as I said, I think at the 5:30 news, you know, all the skee balls, everything's disinfected repeatedly. So they say
I got to be careful, because I think Phil Murphy hates me so much. He listens to the show. And whatever I like, he decides to close the next day. So I got to be careful in saying I like skee ball.
That's right. See, you got to just go, I hate skee ball.
And he's such a petty little vindictive jerk. I'm telling you, they're like, oh, Zioli likes skee ball.
Knucklehead.
Yeah. Too many knuckleheads playing skee ball. I got to shut that down.
There's one story that's really interesting. And maybe we'll talk about it later, but it's Bucks County and suburban county law enforcement, they say they're getting record numbers of job applications from Philadelphia police. So I think that's this is coming out from cops are telling me this, but also we're seeing it from suburban counties. They're saying record numbers. Philadelphia police just want out, and they're
trying to go.
I know, it's a shame.
I don't blame them at all.
So this is kind of a funny little story. A Pennsylvania official accused of gardening naked in his backyard is now charged with 3 counts of indecent exposure.
Ugh.
I know. So, and these houses are not far apart.
Do you remember Seinfeld? There's good nudity and bad nudity.
Yes.
We should garden the nude.
Yeah, this is bad nudity. So the neighbor, she's a mom and she has kids who are 2 and 6. She actually had it like she got blinds and she's like, kids, don't look out the window. And she took photos of the guy bending over. I mean, buck naked. And he's bending over in his garden over the tender vegetation. So she posted photos on Facebook. She called the cops. She was complacent, sick of it. And so the police did finally. The guy is actually, his name's Bruce Weber. He's a city finance director in Harrisburg.
So he likes to be in the buff. On his birthday suit. I mean, come on, you know?
He's got to cut, like, just wear like a Speedo or something.
Yeah, I think that's even worse.
You know, and maybe wax the back. I don't know.
God. Oh, not his fault. The salons have all been shut down. You know?
That's right. Very hairy. Hershey Park reopening tomorrow. Candymonium is the park's newest, tallest roller coaster. The NBC 10 First Alert forecast today, 93 degrees. Tomorrow, 96. This is for the city of Philadelphia and surrounding suburbs. So mostly sunny, only 15% chance of spotty afternoon showers. Obviously, it's not 93 at the shore. It's going to be mid-80s and beautiful. Saturday, 4th of July in Philadelphia, 87 degrees, a 40% chance of those scattered afternoon showers, maybe even some storms, but down the shore, not so much. The high is 80 beautiful degrees, only a 20% chance of a stray shower. So obviously, you know, it's much hotter in the city. Sunday, 83 degrees down the shore, 90 in Philadelphia and the suburbs. So we also have across the region, by the way, we're hearing reports that the Department of Defense says military planes will do a flyover again. So I don't have the details. I'm looking for that. But we'll
do you
continue.
Think it'll still be during this news segment, which apparently is never ending?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or do you think the planes will come later in the show?
Okay, hint water. It's pure water infused with surprisingly.
Actually, Dawn is just is stalling for the military planes to make the flyover.
I'm sorry.
This is all just designed so that we'll hear them in the middle of the newscast. Oh, look, there they are.
ADD. Okay, hint, pure water infused with surprisingly true fruit flavors. Watermelon, blackberry, cherry, no sugar.
Wait, there's planes and they're dropping out of the sky. It's like Red Dawn. Somebody get the Wolverines.
Get the tequila out of her. No, available in your grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, water with a touch of true fruit flavor. That's it.
That you sure? Nothing else? Do you leave anything else on the table there? Nothing in the locker room, right? All right, we have an hour of nonstop talk for you. Straight ahead.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hey, it's Dawn. It's going to be a beautiful day, but it's going to be hot. We're 93 degrees today. I don't like to heat up my kitchen, which is why I fire up the grill on days like this. And your response to Cinch propane tank home delivery for your grill has been outstanding. Here's something else that's outstanding. You can get your first tank of propane for your grill delivered straight to your doorstep for only $10. All you have to do, go to cinch.com, use promo code Dawn, so you get your propane tank delivered right to your doorstep, only $10. No need to have to go out. That is such a pain. No. Just save money, save time. Go to cinch.com, no delivery fees, and you don't have to sign a contract or anything like that. It's so easy. So this is what I do. I go to cinch.com. The cinch guy comes. I put my old empty tank out front. I don't even have to be there. He does the switcheroo, and I have a brand new full tank right on my doorstep. It's so easy. Just $10 for your first tank. Just go to cinch.com. So it's CYNCH.com. Avoid all the hassles. Save time. Definitely save money when you order your first propane tank from cinch.com for just $10. Promo code Dawn. So stay safe this summer while grilling from cinch.com. Order your propane tank today.
Is it time to get rid of superheroes, America? Apparently so, according to one woke Time magazine writer. How long has Russia been paying bounties to try to kill U.S. troops? Turns out it goes long before Donald Trump ever became president. And yes, it's true, football may come back, but it ain't going to be like football you know. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Zioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Zioli, Facebook.com/Zioli Show, 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. As you know, I'm a huge superhero guy. I love superhero movies. I love superhero cartoons. I grew up watching Super Friends on the weekends. I'd get my big bowl of cereal and go down and watch Super Friends. And I used to love all that stuff. And when my son was born, we have various signs like Superman is adopted. It's one of the things that a lot of people who are adopted love to highlight, that fact that Superman is adopted. Because, of course, you know, he came to Earth after his birth parents saved him from the planet Krypton exploding, came down a rocket ship, was adopted ultimately by Jonathan and Martha Kent. I mean, technically, you know, Batman was kind of adopted by Alfred after his parents were shot and killed in Gotham, and Spider-Man was kind of adopted by his Aunt May. So for a lot of people who are adopted, superheroes are great role models. So early on when Patrick was born, we had a big Captain America doll right in his action figure right in his room, one of the big ones, you know, the big 12-inchers. And that was there on display, Cap holding the shield, Superman was adopted sign. Then as he got older a little bit, we would put signs in the bathroom, like even Batman brushes his teeth, and even Superman flushes the toilet, you know, try to always. And what we always do is point out some of the very positive lessons. Like, for example, it's hard to get much more patriotic than Captain America, who is literally red, white, and blue, right? And the story of this scrappy kid from Brooklyn who so wanted to just serve his country in World War II and go over there and fight Nazis, and was an absolute just, you know, hero. And he's so scrappy, and they have to make him into a super soldier just to be able to go and fight. And he's becomes an epic hero. Well, of course, anything that shows positivity like that, and America, I believe, leads the world when it comes to superheroes. And we've had great writers. I mean, Stan Lee, who passed away, was the guy who created most of the Avengers and Captain America and a lot of these other guys. And he was himself a World War II veteran. He was a really, really patriotic guy his whole career, his whole life. And the idea that superheroes are now part of the problem that has to be addressed is the kind of thing that you'd expect to read on the internet. You know, some idiot reporter, writer who's writing this just to get attention. But now it's Time Magazine, which I grant you, does not get a lot of attention. I get that. It's Time Magazine. It's a little bit past their time here. But the story, we're reexamining how we portray cops on screen. Now it's time to talk about superheroes. Do you remember in the Superman the movie, the one that came out with Christopher Reeve, Gene Hackman, of course, playing Lex Luthor, great movie. Superman says he stands for truth, justice, and the American way. What does Batman stand for? Well, he stands for getting rid of corruption and crime on the streets, right? Captain America stands for America. And so you can understand why there's a lot of people on the left who would like to see these superheroes removed, because they give kids very positive lessons early on. They do. They give them a lot of very positive lessons early on. Lessons about family, lessons about the country, lessons about justice, truth. Justice, Superman, one of his famous things, I never lie. It's one of Superman's famous things. I never tell a lie. There's a lot of very positive lessons there for kids. Now, of course, I mean, there's, like anything else, there's a million superheroes, and some are violent and that sort of thing. But I'm talking about the most famous ones, you know, the household names, the ones that when I was a kid, I'd go to the Jersey Shore Boardwalk, and my dad, I remember this too, it was Wildwood, I guess it was probably the mid 80s. And I think my dad must have spent $1,000 trying to win me those big superhero action figures, because I wanted the whole Justice League set, Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman. I wanted them all. I wanted all of them. And it could have just bought them. But of course, you know, the fun of the Jersey Shore in summer, throw whatever the game was. I think that game was he had to knock down glass bottles, if I'm not mistaken. I should ask him. He's probably listening right now. Maybe he can text me. And we joke about it to this day, that he probably spent $1,000 to win me these big action figures. But they were the big kind, you know, the really cool, big, foot-tall action figures. Anyway, when I think now about the times in which we live, first the left came after cop movies, right? Cop movies were not good because cop movies show cops as heroes and they show people of color who are the criminals and that sort of thing. It's an overly broad generalization. It's not accurate. Some movies, sure, do. But then there's other movies that show, like, for example, Training Day with Denzel Washington, how bad a corrupt cop could be. There's a lot of shows out there that show really the struggle that people have in trying to keep their community safe and how the residents need the police to help them keep the community safe. The Wire is a great example of that. But on the left, what you do is you take something and then you label all of it bad and then you try to erase it from American history. And really, if you go back to the origins of comics, really it was around World War II that they got very popular. And the Captain America, for example, was used to help raise money for the war effort. That was literally why, that was literally his use. As the years went on, they had this this comic book board that came around and said they only want comics to be positive. They didn't want them to have bad language, too much violence. They always wanted happy endings. That commission went away eventually, but for a while, the whole purpose was to give kids very positive role models, positive lessons. And I would argue that the big ones, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Captain America, Iron Man, these are all good role models for kids. So it has to come under attack now. And they mention in the piece, by the way, the parents are showing their kids portrayals of canine cops in shows like Paw Patrol, for example. Again, it's another show we watch with the kids. Very positive lessons, Paw Patrol. But, of course, the cops are, I mean, the dogs, the puppies are cops. So they want that gone, too. They want Paw Patrol gone. They also want this other show, Bubble Guppies, gone, because there's a pro-police Bubble Guppies episode. So instead of teaching kids early on, hey, listen, cops are your friend. If you ever get in trouble, go find a policeman, go find a policewoman, go find and get some help, which, by the way, is what cops want kids to understand. When you talk to cops, and I've had obviously a lot of them in studio over the years, they always tell me the same thing. Whenever they're at Wawa and they see a mom go, be good, or I'm going to tell that police officer to come arrest you, the officer always goes over and says, ma'am, please don't do that. We want them to not be afraid of us. We want them to come to us. We want them to come to us when they need help. And if they always think we're going to get them in trouble, if they always think that an interaction with us is going to result in them getting in trouble, they're never going to trust us. I thought that was very powerful when they said that. So I look at a lot of these shows like Paw Patrol, and I think it's really very positive for kids. These shows don't put a racist narrative out there or an agenda of fascism. But yet the left wants those shows gone too. So now they've decided to go after superheroes. And they write, let me share a little bit with you from this this idiotic piece. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, why spend so much time on this, right? It's because this is a bigger issue of American culture. Like, I view this as a big part of our culture, America's culture. Captain America, Superman, Batman, these are all part of the American story. And in many cases, their stories are reflective of America and the struggles that the characters go through, the struggles their cities go through, corrupt politicians, crime waves, foreign enemies, Nazis. I mean, so it's easy for the left to say, I want to just get rid of a big part of what America's culture is. So she writes, superheroes have dominated popular culture for the last decade. They are fixtures of the highest grossing movies and icons to more than just our children. They are beacons of inspiration. Protesters dressed as Spider-Man and Batman have turned up at recent Black Lives Matter demonstrations. And yet, what are superheroes except cops with capes who enact justice with their powers? With a few notable exceptions, more on that later, most superhero stories, ready? Star straight white men who either function as an extension of a broken U.S. justice system or as vigilantes without any checks on their powers. Usually they have some sort of tentative relationship with the government. The Avengers work for the secretive agency SHIELD. Batman takes orders from Gotham Police Commissioner Gordon. Even the villainous members of the Suicide Squad execute government orders in exchange for commuted prison sentences. And even when superheroes function outside the justice system, they're sometimes idolized by police because they're able to skirt the law to get the job done. You know what I love about this? It's so stupid, right? And you think to yourself, you go, oh, come on, why does people, do people not have anything better to do? No, they don't. And this is part of the problem too. Let's go through this. For example, Batman, the whole concept of Batman is there's a guy who can't stand corruption, police corruption, government corruption, letting criminals get away with it. So he decides, after his parents were victim of that, he's going to do it himself, right? The whole city's corrupt. It's a corrupt system. So he's going to don the cape and the cowl, and he's going to learn martial arts, and he's going to go out there and clean up the city on his own. Now, to this lefty writer, he's a vigilante with unchecked powers. But to somebody who believes in a positive story of America, you believe in what? Somebody who understands their responsibility to keep their community safe, to not just rely on government, to not just rely on the police, but to also do their part to make things better, to keep people safe. And a lot of that is very American from the earliest concept of us on the frontier, right? We got our guns, we protect our families, we protect our towns, we protect our cities, ourselves. We don't just turn it over to government because governments are corrupt. You understand now why they want that message gone, right? You understand why they'd like to erase that. Batman's more than just a guy who dresses up as a bat. He's a symbol of what happens when corrupt systems wind up absolutely keeping us from being safe. When corrupt systems take advantage of us, when corrupt systems let us down. And how much do we as conservatives, libertarians, do we believe that that is so government, right? A government winds up becoming a self-serving entity, rife with corruption and incompetence, and then the people suffer. So a guy has to rise up and do something about it himself. Captain America is another great example. In the movies that came out over the years, he actually brings down S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. is a government agency. See, this writer gets it all wrong, right? The secretive agency, S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. Is established much like, I think of like the modern day CIA or the NSA. What do we just watch happen with the NSA and the CIA? We watch them try to affect a presidential election, right? We watch them try to bring down a president of the United States. We watch an intelligence community with their powers of government, law enforcement and intelligence, federal level, work together to try to keep a guy from winning the presidency. And then when he got there, to try to derail his presidency. Because the lesson is that the more you give up your liberty to the government to be safe, the more they're going to take that liberty and then crush it and then use the powers you just gave them to keep them safe, keep you safe for political purposes. That's always been one of my Zioli axioms over the years. Whatever liberty you sacrifice to give government the power to quote unquote keep you safe, they will weaponize and use politically. Guess what? That's entirely the plot of Captain America, the Winter Soldier, where Cap begins to understand now that S.H.I.E.L.D. is corrupt from within and that corruption has to be brought down. And ultimately, they have to bring down this corrupt government bureaucracy that had become too big and wasn't interested in keeping people safe anymore. It had become interested in total control over them. And here's this rebel who's got to go and fight the government. Captain America, he's got to fight the government to stand up against the government as an individual. Think about what else the left hates, right? They hate the idea of an individual standing up against the government. We're all supposed to be sheep. You know, we're all supposed to kneel down at the altar of government and go, oh, keep me safe. I'll do whatever you want, whatever you need. Just take my liberty, take my guns, take my freedom, take my choices. Just keep me safe. Keep me safe from coronavirus, from diabetes, bad people. Just keep me safe. Terrorists, keep me safe. Captain America stands up to that. He goes, no, that's not how this works. People have a right to be left alone from their government. They shouldn't be spied on all the time. They shouldn't be tracked all the time. And the government shouldn't be so powerful over the people. It's a very American message, right? You can understand why the left would like to get rid of that too. I love when the Zioli Army, they made me a Captain America action figure with my face on it. And they sent that to me. And I thought that was the coolest gift I've ever gotten in my life. I loved it. I still have it on, Patrick has it on his nightstand now. It's a bobblehead too. It's so cool. But I always think about that from the sense of What is my job if I care about liberty and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? My job is to stand up against the government when the government is trying to crush my liberty in the name of keeping me safe. That's my job. It's why for years now, I've railed against the NSA metadata gathering, the spying. I've railed against the government with all of their nonsense under the Patriot Act and everything else. But the people on the left, these things are there to keep us safe. I mean, they want to disarm you to give federal law enforcement more power over you. This getting rid of local police departments is really kind of a ruse because they want ultimately federal police. They don't want to get rid of any federal police departments. Think about that. And think of how those agencies have been corrupted from within. FBI, CIA, NSA, Department of Intelligence. Back to her idiotic piece here. She writes now, when Batman ignores orders and goes rogue, there's no oversight committee to assess whether Bruce Wayne's biases influence who he brings to justice and how. Heroes like Iron Man occasionally feel guilt about the casualties they inflict, but ultimately empower themselves again and again to draw those moral lines. So Batman, she wants a committee of oversight to oversee a fictional character and a fictional police department. But really what she's saying is, we need to make sure that we, the committee, the central committee, decides right and wrong. We decide right and wrong. The committee, the central committee, the oversight committee of our lives. And the idea of one person standing up against that, that's unacceptable. Iron Man winds up later on in the Avengers, convincing the Avengers to sign this international accord, which turns over their ability to function as an independent squad of heroes to the United Nations. And what I love about that is how many times have we talked about the United Nations being absolutely nothing more than a political, gigantic leftist organization made up of many anti-Semitic countries, countries that have horrible human rights records, countries that have horrible records for women, for gays, but that's the United Nations. And what does the left say about the United Nations, right? They turn around all the time and they go, America needs to be a player in the world. America can't go it alone. America's got to be part of the world family. And so America needs to join the United Nations and be part of this and submit some of its sovereignty to things like what? The World Court, right? So that they could have international law and that you as an American citizen could be violating international law and tried at, say, like The Hague, for example. You know, Trump has stood up to that. He said, not on my watch. We are not giving up any of our sovereignty on my watch as long as I'm president of the United Nations. It's not going to happen. But that's literally what happens in the plot to Avengers Civil War, Captain America Civil War. When Cap and a few other of the superheroes, the Avengers, say, we are not turning this over to the United Nations. These are people with agendas. And people with agendas can be compromised. We're not doing this. And they have this big, big battle over it. How often does that play out in our life right now, right? But you could understand why, if you want to get rid of superheroes from American lore, because the powerful lessons there of government abuse, of totalitarianism, of these international organizations that have the ability to get so powerful they can become fascistic. You can understand why you'd want to scrub those lessons from the minds of young children, right? The idea of an individual standing up to that, being a hero, you'd want to understand why the left would say we need to get rid of all of that. So when I read this stuff, I think to myself, you know, forgetting all of the wonderful stories that are out there, at the heart of superheroes for me has always been the idea of standing up against corruption, of whether that corruption is totalitarianism, fascism, it's powerful federal governments that use their police powers to become a police state, crush the individual, corrupt mayors, corrupt cops, corrupt cities where they feed on the corruption and they're all getting rich off their pockets. These are the people that have to stand up to that because America is about the individual. And the individual sometimes has to stand up, rise up, and fight against these systems, right? And sometimes they join in teams to do it too, but ultimately that's what it's about. Ultimately that's what it's about. And as you know, before Patrick was born, we had a disappointment with our adoption, our first adoption. Thank God it happened that way because I can't imagine this little boy not being my son, right? I mean, he was meant to be my son. God obviously meant him to be our son. But before that, we were supposed to adopt another little boy, and we actually were going to name him Miles. Miles is the name of Miles Morales, who's a half black, half Puerto Rican son of a cop. He's the black Spider-Man. And we thought, well, that's kind of fitting, right? His grandpa will be a cop and he's half black and this will be fun and this will be kind of neat. So, you know, that's the other thing too, is that superheroes have also taken on all of those issues too. They've taken on a lot of those issues in society. But that scrubs the narrative, right? I mean, a conservative radio host with mixed-race adopted children, teaching them about superheroes that are not just straight white men. I mean, that doesn't happen, right? Again, it's the false left narrative that they push out there all the time. And they do that because they want to teach the lessons that we're all bad. You know, we're bad. America's bad. And we have to erase this culture from us. And that's the only way we can start over and start fresh. And we can be good again, is to scrub our history and scrub our culture. When Patrick was born, and I mentioned to you that, thank God, I mean, obviously his adoption worked because he's my son and I love him and every ounce of me, every part of my heart. And we got him into the superheroes early on, and we play superheroes all the time. It's always for him about, for example, you know, Superman saving people who need saving, because, you know, that's how he views it. Wonder Woman, what a powerful role model she is. We got a little Wonder Woman doll for Claire, because she's not into superheroes as much, but she loves Wonder Woman. We put Reagan in a little Wonder Woman onesie the other day. These very powerful lessons of, in my mind, individualism, of standing up to corrupt institutions, of being on guard against totalitarian powers, government powers that go wrong, fascism, to be on guard against all these things, to understand sometimes you may have to, as an individual, step up, do the right thing, help people who can't help themselves, fight for the little guy, protect people, take your own defense into your own hands. Don't rely on other people to keep you safe, but do the right thing. Those lessons stand directly in contrast with the left's agenda of saying, you're not an individual. Give up your individualism. Be part of the collective. Be part of the group. We'll keep you safe. All it costs you is your privacy, your liberty, your freedom, but we'll keep you safe. Just give us your passwords, or don't worry, we'll just get them anyway. And yeah, we're going to spy on you, and yeah, we're going to make your life a little bit miserable, and yeah, we're going to take away some of your freedoms, but we'll keep you safe because we're the government, and we're here to help and keep you safe. When we read about stuff like this, we're re-examining how we portray cops on screen. Now it's time to talk about superheroes. It's the same themes, right? The idea that there's good cops that stand for justice, they got to get rid of that. They got to scrub that so that little kids don't buy into that quote unquote lie, because then it makes it easier to disband police departments and defund them, right? If you get rid of the idea that superheroes are actually heroes, you can get rid of a big chunk of American history, of America standing up to the Nazis and standing up to fascism and standing up for freedom and liberty. And then it's a lot easier to get us all buying into their collective nonsense. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210 is the number. So no, I don't reject this stuff as just being kind of nonsense on the internet. I look at this stuff as very, very dangerous. Very dangerous indeed if we don't push back on this nonsense. They're banking on the fact that you'll dismiss it as some crazy writer on the internet. It's not. It's Time Magazine. Remember that. These are the people that censor. These are the people that get rid of. These are the people that remove shows. These are the people that remove movies. These are the people that want to get rid of books. And we have to say no. We need to stand up against it, because at the end of the day, a lot of these lessons are so pro-America, and that's why they want to get rid of them. All right. Jimmy Fallon, my buddy, is going to be here in just a minute. But before I do that, I want to remind you about Newsmax TV. David Horowitz has a book out, and that book is called Blitz: How Trump Will Smash the Left and Win. And it's getting a lot of attention, too. In fact, President Trump just tweeted out about Blitz recently, saying this book is hot. David Horowitz is already an Amazon best-selling author, and he's a really smart guy, too. You can go to blitz411.com or call 800-NEWSMAX for a free offer and save $28. That's right. In the book, David Horowitz exposes all the various groups inside the government and out. They're trying to bring down President Trump. But he says, don't worry, because the president's going to win re-election in a landslide. Is he right? Find out. Read Blitz. Blitz411.com and check out Newsmax TV. David Horowitz is on Newsmax every night giving his opinions and his thoughts. Newsmax TV.
Talk Radio 1210. 10 WPHT.
Before I go to Jimmy, who's going to call in just a second, go to Steve in Westchester. Hey, Steve, good morning, buddy.
Hi, Rich. Happy 4th to all you guys.
Same to you, my friend.
Thank you. Hey, I just wanted to draw a quick point going to your superhero conversation. There's actually the movie RoboCop 2. I mean, all those movies kind of satire political American culture. There's one scene where RoboCop gets decommissioned, and there's a panel of all of these parents and political activists who are trying to turn RoboCop from a crime fighter into like an activist, like an environment. Like, does he have to shoot so many people?
Right.
Does he have to go through the impoverished community? Can't he talk about environmental issues more or encourage people not to smoke anymore? And they turn him into like this super nice machine, basically. And your topic here just completely brings that movie back to my memory.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Steve. That's a great, great reminder. I forgot all about that. That's awesome. Hey, buddy, thank you for that. Have a great Independence Day. And I'll just quickly on Twitter, checking in, courtesy of our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. Kevin says, you forgot to mention Marvel's Daredevil, who was orphaned as a child and brought up in a Catholic orphanage. Kevin, thank you for that. He says, by the way, good friends with Cap and Spidey. Kevin, thank you for that. That check-in brought to you by our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. They really do matter. They know your relationship with this show matters. Go see them on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Say hello, Cherry Hill Volvo. But let me go to my my friend, my guest. Jimmy Failla is the host of Fox Across America. You can hear him every day from 12 to 3. Jimmy, good morning.
Yo, did I just get a RoboCop reference before my lead-in?
You are RoboCop in my world.
Oh, I'll buy that for a dollar. Hey, there it is.
And don't yuck my yum, all right?
Yeah, well, that's what you always say. The only Navy is back in town. We're happy to be here. It's a patriotic weekend, as you know, 4th of July, greatest country in the world. Jimmy Failla, to talk about myself in the third person, is very pro-America, as you know, Rich Zeoli. And I think the right thing to do this week more than ever is we do need to go on offense, because America's taking a lot of heat right now that I'm just not okay with, you know, as a fan. And I'm fired up. I don't know if you could tell by the caffeine in my voice.
I love it.
To be honest with you, it might be the bath salts. I'm not making any promises, but the point is I'm here, and I'm excited about it.
Jimmy, of course, was the head writer for Kennedy on Fox Business, and he's a stand-up comedian and, of course, the host on Fox Radio every day from 12 to 3. You had, I got to tell you, man, I was dying laughing at the analogy you had for Joe Biden about how he's the guy that you can't let him order for himself at restaurants.
Oh, man. Yeah, because he doesn't know what's going on. This is what's happening. Everybody's been to a restaurant. You know, if you have an older person in your family with dietary restrictions, and, you know, they're like, yeah, I'll have the lasagna. But then before the waiter walks away, you gotta grab him and be like, he can't have the lasagna. You know, bring him the chicken. You know, like that. And that is very much Joe Biden. He has no idea what's coming out of his mouth, whether or not it's good for him. So, you always have to flag down the waitress to, one, correct the order, and, two, apologize for the fact that Grandpa sniffed her hair.
and he's ordering lasagna, but he really wants the socialism, so bring him the socialism.
Yeah, well, that's what the analogy was. It's like, yeah, he can't have the democracy. Bring him the socialism. Bankrupt the whole restaurant. Could you please? I mean, it's crazy, Rich Zeoli. Can't take
now,
it.
Now, Jimmy Failla, you're in New York, and I saw now that, of course, your absolutely incompetent mayor tried to say that protests are okay, but going to houses of worship is not okay. And he said it's not even the same thing. Not even close, he says.
Yeah, I know, and it's like, that's his opinion. But you know who doesn't agree with him? The virus. The virus doesn't know. I looked it up. And let's be very clear, Zeoli, I am not like a med student. The only doctors I know are Dre and Pepper, like straight up. But I did some research. And, yeah, there's no world where the virus has any idea whether you're burning down a church or praying in one. So that's idiotic, but that is Bill de Blasio. And you want to know something? Like, we deserve him, like, as New Yorkers. I mean this. And I'm speaking of the sports fans in the audience. We're in New York City. We elected a guy who is a devout Red Sox fan to run our city, which is that's not who we're supposed to be, you understand?
Right.
No, they don't care about us. Come on, man. It's the same problem I have right now with the Democratic Party as a whole. you know, on a national level. It's like we have two messages going into November. One is, this is the greatest country in the world. You can be anything you want to be. The other is, this place sucks. Let's rage quit and hit the reset button like we lost at Fortnite, you know? And it's like, I don't want to give the country to the people who hate it. You know, we gave New York to a Red Sox fan. I don't give America ostensibly to a Red Sox fan who doesn't like the country.
So I think we can all agree on that analogy, by the way, because they're the worst. They are the worst.
The worst. And I don't even know if you're talking about the Red Sox or the Democratic Party, but I'm on board with both.
Well, I was thinking the Red Sox, but they both applies in this analogy, Jimmy Failla. It absolutely does. Now, in New York City right now, I saw that they're going to defund the police. They're going to take like $1.5 billion out of the budget. But the little socialist hottie, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, says that doesn't go far enough.
You know, listen, man, no one will ever confuse her with a math major, a societal expert. You know, the thing is, and it's a little disingenuous, obviously, because a lot of the public officials vowing to defund the police do have security details themselves. But, you know, AOC is so stupid that she couldn't spell entitled moron if you spotted her the A and the C.
Yeah, she'd have to get a vowel. She'd have to phone a friend or something, I would think, right?
Yeah, no, she's not good. It's not good. And again, what's going on right now, man, for real, is people are doing things not because they're leaders, but because they're trendy. And they're trying to capitalize on the goodwill. I don't even know that it's goodwill necessarily, but that there's some type of momentum and appetite for these idiotic things. Like we saw out in CHOP, which disbanded last night. So now the Failas have to cancel our summer vacation plans.
I had a nice Airbnb booked for tomorrow night.
what is the B&B stand for out there? You better be careful. It's
some sort of illegal substance. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, not good. Not good. But yeah, you know, the Democratic Party is not leading right now. Most of our elected officials aren't leading right now. They're giving in to the children who are throwing the fit in the store. You know, we were told growing up that if, you know, you threw a fit in the store, you'd get hit with the old, oh, mommy's leaving. That's it. Got to go. And they'd walk out without you, and you'd eventually be like, oh, damn, I have no options here. But in this instance, we're buying the kid who's screaming on the floor at Kohl's a candy bar and a Pez dispenser and, I don't know, maybe a G.I. Joe. Can I still say G.I. Joe?
No, absolutely not. What, are you crazy? He's got a kung fu grip. How racist is that?
I understand Destro had some problematic tweets, and I think some of them have been canceled. I don't know. So I'm
G.I. Joe is definitely canceled, man. Come on. Let me ask you this question. You were a stand-up comic in New York, and I saw now Bill de Blasio turned around, and he said that there's going to be no indoor dining for restaurants, right? How are these comedy clubs? I mean, when you do stand up, you got to be in these small spaces and people there, and they have to drink, obviously, right? Because, I mean, clearly alcohol makes everything funnier. How are these clubs going to survive? How are these comics going to be able to make a living doing in the next couple of years?
Well, you ask a really good question, because what happened here in New York is places did try to do drive-in comedy, where you know, you're basically on a stage in a parking lot, everybody's in their car. But yes, that does become a little problematic with the two drink minimum. You know what I'm saying? We basically, everybody comes, lasts for 15 minutes, and then turns into Beto O'Rourke and gets pulled over on the way home for boozing it up. And the workaround, honestly, right now is outdoor comedy, which probably isn't going to work. You know, the long term is, we do have to eventually get back indoor. I mean, as comics, we're really not that scared. Because from hanging out with other comics our whole lives, we're probably immune to corona because we've caught so many worse things.
Right.
But the business doesn't have that immune system. The business is getting smoked right now. And again, I think for a lot of people, Rich, they would rather, and I'm sure your listeners feel this way, people would rather risk, you know, and I'm not trying to downplay the virus or the significance of the suffering it's brought on, but I think most people, if you ask them, would rather risk taking a shot at this point than just taking shots, which is what we're all doing now. We're all getting beat up, you know? We need, you know what I, remember what I said at the beginning of the call when I was all pepped up and I said we need to go on offense?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Offense is the key.
We need to go on offense. We need, you know, it's a declaration of independence. And I very much feel like we're being forced a declaration of codependence on us as a country right now in that, like, I don't do anything. the government's going to handle it, which is my favorite thing in the world. It's like the people that are screaming about this government for 8 hours a day on Twitter keep telling us we need to let the government do more.
Right.
And I'm like, no, no, dummy. There's a reason they didn't give Toonses the driving cat the car keys at the end of the sketch when the car flew off the cliff.
When are they going to learn, Jimmy? When are they going to learn? And, you know, where you live, too, I mean, New York City, it's like the epicenter of people who have said, I want to be the part of the cool kids down in the Hamptons. I love those stories, too, right? They'll all go down to the Hamptons, and they'll have all their parties. They'll take their masks off, and they'll all breathe in the same air. But then at the same time, they'll support all these decisions from the city government to not let restaurants reopen, to keep things shut down, to literally now drive people into economic ruin. And I think, you freaking hypocrites, for the people that don't have the nice Hampton Shore House to go to. I know you have an incredibly beautiful Hampton Shore House. Freaking hypocrites, what you're doing to people and their livelihoods.
And to be clear, I do. I have a really nice, I'm right now in a gorgeous Hampton Shore House. Let's hope the owners don't come home anytime soon. But yeah. But here we are. Jenny, we got to go, babe. Jenny, we got to go.
Pack it up. Let's go.
Pool.
You just keep the car running the whole time you're there, just in case.
Yeah, you know how we roll. But, you know, the truth is the inconsistency from health officials and the inconsistency from Democratic leaderships about what we addressed earlier, which was, you know, a double standard on lockdowns for workers, but not lockdowns for protesters, you know, is the reason why no one's going to take this seriously. That's one reason we're having a very big problem right now, is because we've all discussed this. A month ago, we were yelling at people because they were protesting the lockdown in Michigan. But the week after that, we were encouraging people to protest in the millions in the streets. And because people watched that on TV and said, like, hey, this is a little hypocritical and weird, it destroyed their credibility when it comes to pushing lockdowns. You know, because it's inconsistent, it's a double standard. You know, in sports, if an umpire is calling a high strike, the manager who goes out to argue with him will eventually be like, all right, it's a terrible call, but please call it consistently.
Right.
So at least we know what we're dealing with. These umps aren't calling a consistent high strike. So we just have a strike zone all over the map, and nobody wants to watch the game anymore.
Yeah, and then you literally watch these same idiot governors and mayors marching in the streets with the protesters, and then the next day they're sending citations to the protesters who are protesting them. It's all over the board, and that's why people don't trust them anymore, and it's why there's all this skepticism around every one of their declarations, because people come around and go, come on, you just violated that very declaration 10 minutes ago. Why are you now coming out and giving us even more declarations? You don't even follow your own declarations. How many times did I say declarations there? I think like 8 times. I'm sounding like Cuomo now. I just keep repeating myself.
Cuomo is the worst, but it's like me and you are in full-blown get-off-my-lawn mode right now, which I love, which I love, and I'm true. But to your point, the people saying, like, you can't do it and then do it, it really is the parental equivalent of when your parents scream at you and say there's no yelling in the house, you know? Like, in this house, there's no yelling.
We don't put up with temper tantrums in this house. I tell my kids, if you have a temper tantrum, you're literally not getting it ever. That's the opposite of that. But these, I guess, the kids today, Jimmy, the kids today must have been raised on, if you stomp and scream, daddy and mommy will give you your way, because we just don't really care that much. So keep it up, because that's what seems to work for them these days. I don't like this statue. Yeah. I'm going to whine and cry. I don't like this movie, this show. I'm going to stomp my feet. And then, all right, we'll turn around and cancel it for you.
It's crazy. But yes, we have gone quite rapidly from everybody gets a trophy to everybody gets a statue. I don't know how that worked out, but it really
is. We love upgrades.
Here you go, kids. You suck at everything. Throw it in the back of your smart car. Get it out of here.
Don't forget to charge that thing. It takes 3 hours. You'll be ready to go soon, I promise.
So
Jimmy
true.
Failla every day, 12 to 3, Fox Across America on Fox News Radio. Catch Jimmy. And I guess at some point we'll be able to get together in person. I know right now we're not allowed to come within, I believe it's 60 feet of each other now. I think they just changed the rules this morning.
It's for your own safety. And to be clear, it has nothing to do with the coronavirus. They know what type of people work in radio. And they're like, yeah, we need to keep all of these clowns apart. So I get it, respectfully. But we got to do it soon. And seriously, happy birthday, America. 244 years. And it's the greatest country in the world. And I want as many people to hear me saying that as possible. Rich.
It's the only country in the world where you can go from driving a cab to being the head writer for one of the most successful shows on Fox and then have his own radio show. Name me another country like that besides Iran, which, of course, everybody does that over there. But
that's the only for the win. I can't even talk back with an Iran joke because I'll alienate half my locker room. So I can't say anything in the garage. I'll be persona non grata. But seriously, this is an epic
chance. Jimmy Failla,
buddy.
You already. Have a good weekend. Happy Independence Day, brother.
Out.
Thank you.
You too, my man. Take care.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hey, I want to tell you about my great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. They're terrific, and I really appreciate everything they've done for my family with giving us one of the most beautiful, safest cars you can find out there, the XC90. Beautiful Volvo. But maybe you're thinking, I got kids. I got to upgrade. I need the family car because that's what we're thinking. Well, then the XC90 is what you do. Third row, bucket seats, safe, plenty of room. You could really stretch out and hit those summer road trips this summer, and I know you're dying to get out there, right? So if your lease is up, why not go by and visit Cherry Hill Volvo? They open at 9 a.m. Their management team makes all sales decisions, which is great. So they have incredible incentives right now. It's really probably the best time to buy a Volvo between the leasing incentives, the financing incentives, and of course, just the fact that they're great cars. The S-Class made right now in the United States of America at their plant in South Carolina. And you're going to find this dealership is very different. It's a local dealership with great local people who are there for you. And they're going to take care of you every step of the way. Judith, the owner, Yosef, the sales manager, just great people. So go visit them on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, minutes over the bridge where relationships matter. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. They open at 9 a.m. Don't forget, CherryHillVolvoCars.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Thanks for taking the Cioli Show with you, Rich Cioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.